I got up here this morning as Tyler, as you're walking by again, I came in, gave Tyler a hug this morning. He said, "Man, you smell good." I said, "Every now and then I spray cologne and you get to smell it right before it goes away." And he said, "Here, smell my beard," right? And it was not awkward. It was not weird. It was a very nice fragrance that Tyler had on his beard, and I got a little whiff of it as he walked back off the stage. It was great. I'm excited to see all of you guys here this morning. We're going to have an awesome day, and I know that because we are here gathered seeking Christ, right? We're seeking the gospel. We're seeking a game plan on how to take it out of this building, how to go out and proclaim Jesus to the world. Last night, we had a Fan the Flame class again, our second one, had the awesome opportunity to have several families there, some of which will be joining soon enough. And in that class, if anybody doesn't know, Caleb, how's it? We see the effects of the second child already. I'm just saying. The mustache is looking good. But Caleb's back. He will be back next week and leading worship. And I hear that you have a guest singer going to be singing a song with you next week. Is that Salita's doc? You're not going to do that? Salita said, "Can he play I'll Fly Away?" I said, "Listen, I only ask for that song about maybe three times a year, so you are going to have to ask because he's just going to think it's me." So Star came up. She had her big deal last week, and she spoke, so Selena might sing next week. Maybe, maybe not. Probably not from where you're sitting. Okay. Well, and Alyssa said if you'll sing, she'll do the birthday dance. So no, still not happening. We're trying. No, we had an awesome time at the Fan the Flame class. We will hopefully make that something that we do regularly because if you don't know what the Fan the Flame class, it is a intro class into who we are as the body of Christ. So if you've been coming and you want to know more about what Fireside's all about, what we proclaim, who we are, how we got started, and meet some of our leadership as well as have some really good barbecue, come up and let us know that you are interested in knowing more. We will set up another class and we will try to get as many people in there as we can. And it has been a really great experience, something that's been great for learning who everybody is and learning who our leadership is. It has just been such a blessing. So, as we go on and we get into this week's lesson, last week we started Hebrews chapter 3, right? And we learned a little bit about Moses and why he was thought of as so great and why Christ is so much more than Moses. And we're going to kind of continue on into a little bit more because even though the Jews at this point in time would have thought of Moses as somebody just amazing, and he was, he followed faithfully and led, it did not mean that everything was just squeaky clean, right? As a matter of fact, most of Moses's journey was really dirty and gritty and nasty. And the fact that he was able to faithfully follow Christ, to follow God in his path, even when his people weren't, is why we still talk about him today, right? Because God used him and equipped him. Now, the story doesn't always end in the way that we want, right? In life, we think that if we work hard enough and everything, eventually that we ourselves get out of the wilderness, right? And that is absolutely true. If we follow Christ through faith, we will eventually get out of the wilderness. However, the wilderness for ourselves, for our life, is life here on earth, right? The actual wilderness is here, life on earth. So no matter where you are, if you think that winning the lottery will fix everything or finding that perfect husband or wife is going to fix everything, if your kids would just mind will fix everything, all of those things are still temporary compared to life everlasting, eternity with Christ. In the same way that the Israelites had to cross the Jordan to enter the promised land, we have to cross death to enter the promised land, which is eternity in the presence of God. So when we get in that mindset that everything that we're doing here is our path in the wilderness, looking for glory, looking for the promised land, it makes things a little bit clearer for us. I'm not going to say it makes it easier, because we're still going to have our trials and tribulations, but it makes it clearer on why we're going through those things, because the best things on earth are in no comparison to eternity with Christ. The question is, are we going to enter the promised land or not? Are we going to faithfully follow Christ or not? We're all in the wilderness. The question is, does the wilderness swallow us up, or does it just get us prepared? As we go in, it says in Hebrews chapter 3, I think most of you guys are probably already there. If you're visiting, I want to let you know that we are going straight through the book of Hebrews. So next week, you can go ahead and guarantee I'll announce it a little bit early. We'll be in Hebrews chapter 4 next week, starting in verse 1. But for this week, we're going to go in Hebrews chapter 3, starting at verse 7 and going through 19. So let's read. It said, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. On the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works. For 40 years, therefore, I was provoked to anger with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest. Watch out, brothers and sisters, so that there won't be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage each other daily while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. For we have become participants in Christ if we hold firmly until the end the reality that we had at the start. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who heard and rebelled? Wasn't it all who came out of Egypt under Moses, with whom was God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for today. I thank you for loving us and being with us. I ask that as we dig into your word, Lord, that you just bless us immensely, Lord, that you allow us to know who you are. And I ask that you allow your words to be spoken, not mine. Lord, allow us to hear those words and to put them into action. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now we go in a little bit deeper here as we get into the book of Hebrews. Once again, the writer in the book of Hebrews wants to start with an explanation of who is saying the verses that we just read, or part of the verses we just read. So in verse 7 here says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says. Now, the words coming through in verses 8 through 11, if you turn through your Bibles into Psalm 95, you will hear that this is a portion of Psalm 95. right? This psalm would have been written somewhere in David's time. Okay, so this could have been 1,000 years before this writer in Hebrews is speaking. How awkward and odd is it to say, not to mention who the writer was in the psalm of, in Psalm 95 is our first thought process, but we have to go back to what we've spoke all along, that everything written down is as the Holy Spirit says. This is really important for the writer of Hebrews to tell the people, the Christians that are falling away. It is really important because it is important for us to know that when we follow our Bible, when we follow God's word, this is not a flawed book written by just mere man. This is a true living word of God that we read, that the Holy Spirit told men to write down his words. And even though we know that this is a psalm that many of the people would have known, he still gives all of the credit to the Holy Spirit, not to the men who wrote it. This is important to tell them because they're saying, don't follow man-made religion. Follow Jesus. In the things that you've heard, realize that they were written down because God wanted them written down, not because man proclaimed them, because God proclaimed them. When we read our Bibles, realize that it is God's word that we are reading. When we hear great testimonies, realize that those testimonies are not of the man there, but of God in that man or woman. Realize that those testimonies point to God's power, not to our power. Realize that Psalm 95 speaks of what God's desire to be spoken, not of man. This would have cleared up a lot of teaching. See, a lot of people say these sort of things as we go into our walk with Christ. They say, you know, you can't just follow that guy, or you can't follow that pastor, or what they say is the church is corrupt, or that association is corrupt. Baptists are all bad, or Methodists are all bad, or everybody's just bad, right? And they attack religion by attacking the people in them. Yes, we are flawed. However, this is God's holy word, and it is not flawed. It is important for us to know that as we are reading the Bible, that the Bible is not flawed. His words are not flawed. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness. Today. Now, one of the main fights that we have, one of the main arguments that we have in the church is that we say, well, that was written so long ago, right? So it shouldn't apply to us, that times have changed, people have changed, cultures have changed. We're in a different part of the world. We don't live under that type of culture. The importance that the writer of Hebrews is trying to say here, that the Holy Spirit is trying to say here in that word today, and you will see this word multiple times in this passage, is that it is just as important literally today in 2022 as it was 2,000 years ago when the writer of Hebrews was putting pen to paper then, as it was 1,000 years before when the Psalm 95 was being written. Today, the next words being spoken are just as important as they were 3,000 years ago and as they will be 3,000 years from now. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. If God is calling you today, do not turn away. See, it says, as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, we have three different situations. I'm going to tell you about two of the different tests that we've had. But we've had actually many different tests that the Israelites would have gone to. He's going back in Exodus, and the psalmist is quoting some situations that happened or making reference to some situations that happened in Exodus. As we know, the Israelites, they came out of Egypt. And think of this in this situation. Right, we can relate the point in which they were at to what we deal with today. They were in a place that was apart from God's desire. It was not in the promised land which he wanted. They were living literally in the slavery of the Egyptian people. If you cannot relate yourself to this situation, look at it this way. We, without Christ in our life as our Lord and Savior, are in slavery to sin. In the same way that the Israelites were in slavery in Egypt, and God called them out of Egypt in the same way that he calls us out of sin through Jesus Christ. Now, he did also call them, and they were into the wilderness in the same way that we are in this life, seeking heaven, seeking the promised land. And these same Israelites have the same problems that we had today. As soon as they get out, they come out and they see the Red Sea, and they see the armies behind them, and instantly they go through and say, man, we could have just been at home safe, and now we're going to die here. Instantly, they turn from faith back into a hardened state. And God comes and shows his power and his mercy in splitting the seas and protecting them. And when they get to the other side of the Red Sea, they see that all of the problems that they had in the past with the Egyptian soldiers and Pharaoh were swallowed up with God's power. They were taken care of with God's power. And they see the glories, and they praise God, and they worship God. And then almost instantaneously, they go a little farther into the wilderness, and they start complaining, we're thirsty. Are you just going to let us out here and die? We could have been sitting back in Egypt around our fires and eating and drinking and being happy. See, as humans, we go from one problem to the next and try to find out and act like, why is this the end of everything for me? Every time we come into a trouble, whether it be financial trouble, whether it be relationship trouble, whether it be troubles at work or whatever, we get into this point, it's like, God, why have you placed me here again? And we forget all of the things, all of the miracles that God has put into our lives, and we harden our hearts. God, why would you put me through this? Do you not care for me? Maybe you're not even real. Maybe I shouldn't even follow you. We start thinking about those things. Maybe I need to fight for myself. We're having the same issues today as the Israelites had thousands of years ago. Whenever we go in here and we read in verse 9, it says, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. For 40 years they saw, they were given the manna, the bread out of heaven. They were given meat. They were given water when the stone was split. They saw miracle after miracle after miracle for 40 years. And yet it wasn't good enough to see the end result, to see the promised land. It says, therefore I was provoked to anger with a generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts and they have known my ways. Kind of shows us a little bit of who we are, aren't we? We can see miracle after miracle and we always go away and we expect God not to be angry, not to be upset. And we even take this word and think that it's a flaw in saying that God was angry. There is such thing as righteous anger. You can be upset with your kids whenever you tell them over and over again a way to keep safe, to not hurt themselves, to not kill themselves, to not put themselves in sin. And when you see them go back into that situation over and over and over again, we can have righteous anger. And it's because we love them so much that our desire isn't for them to put themselves in that sin. God loves us so much that he desires for us not to be overtaken by sin. And he has righteous anger when we continue to go back again and again and again, when we see his miracles, when he feeds us again, when he gives us water again, when he protects us again and again, when he gives us direction in the path, when he shows us where he desires us to be, and we continue to allow ourselves to be taken over. We harden our hearts to sin. We turn away. It says, so I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest. And that rest being the promised land, but for us, the promised land is heaven. See, if we turn and we turn and we turn, and if then nothing is ever good enough to come into a relationship with Christ, then we just fight and we fight and we fight so that we can't enter the kingdom. Now, some of you are probably picking up and ready to text me right now. There is so much more into this, right? It is not God's desire in this situation for these people to fall out of faith. As a matter of fact, we know that because he has righteous anger towards them. He is upset with them. He has called them out of slavery. He has walked with them through the trials and tribulations. He has provided and provided and provided, and it's not enough for them. Watch out, brothers and sisters, so there won't be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. We go right out of Psalm 95, and we go straight into relating Psalm 95. Watch out. See, most of us get caught up with everything in life, right? We get really caught up with all of the details in life and all of the things that we have in life, and we don't want to get away from those things to the point that we are willing to die holding on to something that doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, all of you guys have seen all of the rain we had, right? We've had docks, can't see them in the water anymore because there's so much water in the lakes. We've got puddles everywhere. Some of our roofs have water coming in, right? And I am reminded, anybody ever watch some of these YouTube videos where there's either a big flood or maybe there's a fire, and the people that come out of those, you know, they look around, right? And they're looking around, they're like, okay, all these people look normal. Bingo, that's the guy I'm going to interview right there because he's going to give me something good, right? So you see, they have this fire or this flood, and they go and they'll be in these boats, and they'll be traveling down the streets that are now covered with water, and you will see people refusing to get into the boats because they don't have their Hot Pockets out of the freezer. They don't have their favorite blankie upstairs, and they give every excuse why not to get into the life raft, why not to get there. Every excuse, to the point that we find it sometimes comical, but if we get down to the real nitty gritty parts of that, it's sad. God says, I am giving you the life raft. Enter into a relationship with my son. He has come and he has bled out for you. All you have to do is enter into a faithful relationship with him as your Lord and Savior, and I will give you grace. Just get into this life raft and I'm going to take you out of these waters. And we are too busy with our Hot Pockets to get in the boat that takes us to safety. We're too busy with a picture on a wall to realize that that picture is something that meant something in the past, but we have eternity sitting here in front of us, and we're unwilling to get in. The Israelites said, I am thirsty, I want something to drink, and I'm going to allow my temporary thirst to allow my faith in God for me to turn. Is he even there? Does he even care? Even though you saw him literally split the seas, you saw him split the seas, now you wonder, why can't he give me something to drink? In our own life today, that word today keeps coming up, brothers and sisters. So there won't be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage each other daily while it is still called today. D.L. Moody talked one time that he was giving a sermon, right? And he was really talking about salvation, and he was really wanting to call people into salvation. So he goes in and he's proclaiming Christ, and he says, tomorrow we are going to come back here and I want you all tonight to be sleeping and thinking about this. I want you to be praying about your relationship with Christ. And he sent them out the door and said, make sure by tomorrow that you are ready to make a decision. And as the people in his congregation go home, they go back to their homes and they lay down at night, a great fire breaks out, and several of the people in his congregation are killed in this fire. And D.L. Moody said, I will never again say, hesitate, pray about, wait for tomorrow. If God's calling you today, today is the day. Not even later today, but now. That word today can be now. Is there anything more important? Why do we keep going back and saying, man, I will get into that relationship with Christ. I will get into that lifeboat with you. But wait, I have to go get something that this world will eventually burn up or rot here on this earth. I have to go back and get that because it means so much more to me than having a relationship with you today. Hey, if I just, let me go to work and get that next promotion. And then God, I'm gonna start working for you more. Let me go in, let me fix my home life first, and then I'm gonna start working for you more. Let me figure out if every single word in that book is accurate, and then I'm going to start living for you more. The question is not, do we? It's, we have to get in now. The importance, the love that God has for us. His word says that there is nothing more important in your life. No matter how thirsty you are, no matter how hungry you are, it is incomparable to eternity with or without Christ. That is the decision that we have to make today. We go in just a little bit farther as he goes into another test. He goes in and he says, for we have become participants in Christ if we hold firmly until the end the reality that we had at the start. As it is said, today, he repeats, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. We have to hold firmly to our faith. We have to know that in the trials and tribulations that God is still with us. We have to know that when somebody is hurting, that as Christians, as brothers and sisters, if we truly love God, if we truly care for God, then we need to go and share that love to our brothers and sisters. We need to encourage them. We need to build them up. We need to say, here is the lifeboat. Here is Christ. Here is what you need. We need to help encourage the relationships that we have in Christ with the people around us. So important to him. And he says, for who heard and rebelled? Wasn't it all who came out of Egypt under Moses, with whom was God angry for 40 years. Wasn't it with those who sinned whose bodies fell in the wilderness? We know later that Moses instructs one man from each tribe to go out and to see the promised land and to scout it out. And as they go out and they scout out the promised land, that 10 of the 12 come back and say, man, it is too much. It's more than we can handle. Why are we even trying? We ought to just sit right here. Their cities are fortified. If you go into Numbers, you can read this account. They forget all of the blessings they've had. They forget all of God's power, and they start putting power back in themselves. God's response is, I can't lead this generation into the promised land because they don't have enough faith in me. See, when we go in and we scout what's in front of us tomorrow, we may see the fortified walls, we may see the barriers, we may see the soldiers that look bigger and stronger than us, we may see the obstacles in life, we may see those things. And they may be intimidating to us in the flesh, but aren't you glad that we have somebody that fights for us outside of the flesh? We have somebody, not just somebody, we have the creator of the universe, the savior of our lives, the one that knows how to count the stars, the one that knows how many hairs are on your head. Do you think a wall built by man is enough to withhold his power and his mercy and his grace? Absolutely not. There is nothing that we can do on this earth that would be good enough to fight off God other than one thing. One thing is all that we have. And as we go in just a little bit farther, it says, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? For 40 years he had to allow a generation to die out. Why did he allow that generation to die out? Why do we not just freely get into heaven without one thing? We have to have one thing in order to know Christ as our Savior, and in order to get grace, we have to have something that he speaks about here in verse 19. It says, so we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. It wasn't because of the seas. It wasn't because of the wall. It wasn't because of that terrible boss you had. It wasn't because of that spouse that you have. It wasn't because of your kids. It wasn't because of the lack of money. It wasn't because of too many things to do. It wasn't because of any of those things. All the things that we put before a relationship with Christ, what kept them out of the promised land for 40 years was the lack of faith in Jesus Christ, in the lack of faith in God. The only way that we exit out of the wilderness that we are currently standing in and occupying, the only way to get out of the situation that we are in, the true path to the promised land, the bridge to the promised land, is Jesus Christ. There is nothing else that's going to take you there. And as we finish up this section, we see all the troubles. These are not troubles that are gone with the thousands of years that have been since then. These are troubles that we still deal with today. The question is, do we know that God sent his son, Jesus, here to die for our sins? Do we know that he is our Lord and Savior? Do we put our faith in Jesus Christ? Do we give him all that we are? And if we do, he gives us grace. He gives us grace. He gives us the ability to enter the promised land. I'm not here to tell you that if you change, you know, that you need to go home and just think about it, because the writer in Hebrews says, if God's calling on you, today is the day. Right now, this moment, if God's calling you, answer the call. That word today is so important. We don't know what happens outside of here, but we do know that once we exit out of this wilderness, which each and every one of us will, we either have eternity in grace or eternity in wrath. And those are our two options. My prayer, my begging you today is to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for being with us. I thank you for allowing us to know your ways, Lord, for us to see even over thousands of years the places in where we failed and the places where you succeeded, Lord, so we don't have to repeat those steps, so that we don't have to just be lost, and you don't have to wait for us to die out so that you can give a blessing to somebody else, Lord. I ask that you allow us to take in your word, for you to give us what you desire for us to have, Lord, and that is grace and salvation through Jesus Christ. I ask that if anybody here today is just waiting for the next moment, Lord, that you take that weight away and you say, just follow me, child. Just be with me today, Lord, that they know that even though everything isn't perfectly set up in the way that they desire, that you want to be their God, that you want to lead them, Lord, that you want them to glorify you with their life, Lord. I ask that as we leave this place, that you give us the opportunity to proclaim the gospel. I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.